It's the year that your dream, whatever that dream may be, finally comes true. Well, all the other kids growing up always dreamed of being a firefighter or a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer. Or maybe they had a bigger dream to be a superhero. You always dreamed of something different, of being your own owner of a restaurant. This is the year 1946 that you decide to make that jump and that leap. If you would pick a word to describe this year so far, you would call it restless. You're burning the candle at both ends of the stick. Every night is the night that the midnight oil has to flow in order to keep up. After all, you are the waiter or the waitress. You are the host or the hostess. You are the cook. You are the cashier. You are the bus boy or the bus gal. I don't know what they call the female version of a bus boy. You're the dishwasher. You're the accountant. You're tired. You look for the manager to complain to, and then you realize you are the manager. You're restless. You're weary and wanting nothing but rest. In fact, you consider quitting. But then you remember what your boss told you when you gave your 2 weeks notice. He thought you were crazy for starting your own business in this economy. He said, in fact, if you'd come to your senses and want to come back, there'll always be a job for you here in my company. The thought of you leaving that 8-to-5 job, steady paycheck every week, pension and benefits, the thought of being able to leave work at home, the thought of having 4 weeks of paid vacation, you would give anything for 4 hours of silent, quiet vacation. And the thought that you left all of that to do this makes your stomach churn. So you reach for the bottle of Tums and you pop the last Tums in your mouth and you begin to settle down and begin to think about all of your restlessness. You knew that chasing your dreams would come at a price. You knew you'd have to sacrifice. You just didn't know how restless your soul and your heart and your mind and your body would become in chasing and trying to pay for your dreams. You catch yourself falling asleep a lot, mainly in the back of the restaurant. And the only thing that seems to wake you up is the sound of tires hitting the gravel at excess speed. Some of you country folks know the sound of that. And you kind of roll over and wake up and you get ready to serve another customer. And as you do, you almost murmur the thoughts that are in your head. If you could just take this job. Oh, never mind. And you get ready to prepare to serve another customer and your heart grows restless. And as you fire up the grill, you think to yourself, but there is no rest for the weary. You see, to the weary soul, rest is like a cruel joke. It's like that cat toy gets dangled out in front of you, and just the time you get close to being able to take a rest, life comes in and snatches it away. To the weary, rest is nothing more than a pipe dream, one of those things that you put on your to-do list, but you know good and well, your bucket list, but you know good and well that you will never have time to get to it in your life. And if you do, because you're working so hard, you'll probably die before you get the time to get to all your bucket lists. It's just a pipe dream. To the weary, rest escapes you like the morning dew. It's fleeting. It's here one moment and then it's gone the next. You see, to be weary is to be restless at heart. Perhaps restless for rest. Perhaps a better word we could use to describe this is the word slavery. Slavery is to be bound by our obligations and our commitments, so much so that they prevent us from receiving what we need the most. Slavery. To be constrained by our work, by our busyness, by our obligations, by chasing after our dreams, by trying to pay for our dreams that we're chasing. Oh, that in a lot of ways feels like slavery. to have all the work that we can handle and then some, only for somebody else to either quit, be fired, or incompetent, I mean, not very good at their job, and so you have to do their job on top of yours. Slavery. To be promised time off only for Pharaoh to come in on Friday and say, you get to work the weekend shifts too. But boss, I don't want to hear it. You got to work. It feels like slavery. To be a slave to work, whether it's their work that they're paying us to do, or it's our own work that just seems to keep piling up, it's to become like slaves in Egypt. I would tell us today that probably what we need is we need an exit from our work so that we can make it to rest. What we need is a Moses to come and to speak words that liberate us from the work of Pharaoh. What we need is a God who speaks at Sinai and makes rules that gives us permission to rest. What we need is a God who completes all of His work so that you and I can rest even when we do not complete ours. This is what we need, but I would tell us that to be slaves in Egypt is to be a long way from Sinai. I would tell us that in fact, in order for us to get out of the slavery to our work in Egypt and make it to the rest that God promises at Sinai, it will take more work to get there than if we just stayed and worked in Sinai. It's always more work to rest than it is to just keep grinding it out and doing the work that we have to do. There'll be a lot of problems that we will have to go through before we will ever find rest. We'll go through many problems before there is ever a pass over our problems and we can rest, pun intended. There will be seas that we have to cross before we can stand on the other side of all of our work and finally be able to look back at the sea and the labor and the fruit of our work and be able to rest. There'll be a wilderness that we have to cross that will always be lacking of the things that we think we need the most before we can come to Sinai and actually rest. And every step of the way, every step of the way, on our way to discovering rest, on this journey of this exodus of the weary, we'll be wanting to turn back. Because it's easier. It's familiar. We know how to handle the work that we have and we'll just make do without rest until it finally comes. We want to turn back until we hear these words. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. Welcome to church. For 6 days, work is to be done. But the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, at the end of the 40 days of being in the presence of God, He gave him, Moses, the two tablets of the covenant of law, the tablets in stone by the finger of God. And I would suggest the commands of God, the two stone tablets, that they are sealed by a promise and a permission to rest. You see, there's two ways that you and I can hear these words today. We will either hear them as a slave to our work in Egypt, or we will hear them as a Pharaoh who likes to enforce work too much. hear them as a slave in Egypt, to feel enslaved to our work, to feel obligated to our work, to have so much to do that we never seem to have time to actually stop and rest and reflect and remember and worship, to have all these things vying for our time, and to hear these words that one day each week, you can rest from your labor. Oh, if you're a slave to your work today, those should be words of promise. Those are words of hope. Those are words of grace. But if you're a Pharaoh who stands up, says, I remember when I worked 40 hours a week and had a part-time job too. Kind of wears the number of hours you worked this week as a badge of honor. To a Pharaoh, words about stopping and rest, those are burdensome words. Those are like those rules that your supervisors make at work. You know, the ones who sit in their offices far removed from the actual work that happens and have no idea how that affects the rest of the world? That's what that sounds like. God, you're way up there, we're way down here. I don't know if you can see all the work we got to do, but we ain't got time to rest. That's too far a fetch from reality. To hear these words as a slave to our work is to hear that rest is a reward for our work, and holiness is a reward for our rest. It's to hear that the Sabbath day is holy, and that the one who makes it holy is also the one who makes us holy, so that when we rest, God is doing a holy work in us that does not happen when we are working. The key to being unusual, to having the sanctified life then, is not just faith and trust in God, but it's to rest. It's to let Him do what He's promised to do. And if you're a slave to your work, those are good words. If you're a Pharaoh, though, a Pharaoh who enjoys the work, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying work, I hope you do. In fact, God Himself created us to work in the Garden of Eden, and the best translation that I can think of in Revelation as we serve God and worship God in heaven is that there will be work. Life-filling, life-giving work for us to do in heaven. But some of us just love work too much. We can't ever stop, and to those people, you don't hear the reward. You don't hear rest as being a reward. You heard the consequence. Did you hear it? That whoever desecrates the Sabbath day shall be put to death. And He didn't say it just once. He said it twice. That they shall be cut off from their people, those people who work on the Sabbath day. To be a slave to your work is to hear that 6 days belong to your work and one day belongs to God. But you know it's more than that, that the one day changes the 6 days. It's to know that whatever you cannot complete in 6 days, God Himself has finished the work on the cross of Calvary, and therefore you can rest in the completeness and assurance of Him. To be a Pharaoh and to hear those words is to hear, I can't finish my work in 7 days. How in the world could I ever begin to finish it in 6? You see, Sabbath will always be a promise to some and a burden to other people. But if you heard these words as a restaurant owner in 1946, you would hear words that would set you free. You would hear words that would forever set your business apart and turn this world on end. Your name would be Truett Cathy, also known as the owner and founder of Chick-fil-A. Come on, people. You knew I couldn't preach a sermon on rest without talking about Chick-fil-A. It's the only restaurant that heaven owns. And those calories, they are the Lord's calories. What an unusual business plan to rest on Sundays. If you ask any business manager, any business owner, they would tell you it would never work to stop one day a week. They would tell you that you'll lose too much revenue, that you won't be able to do in 6 days what everybody else is doing in seven. They would also tell you not only will you not be able to do it, but you will never be able to do it better in 6 days than everybody else does it in seven. At the end of 2017, Forbes magazine did a study on this, and they surpassed in sales per restaurant now. Per restaurant, McDonald's. They doubled their McDonald's sales. They surpassed them by $2 million per restaurant owned. And by the way, there are a lot fewer Chick-fil-A's than there are McDonald's. They are able to do in 6 days what McDonald's can't do in 7 days. They also surpassed really their only other competition, KFC. They crushed them 3 times. They sold $3.3 million more per restaurant than KFC. They could do in 6 days what KFC can't do in 7 days. Their trajectory at this moment, by 2020, they will be able to surpass Taco Bell, Burger King, and Wendy's and become the leading seller of fast food restaurants. Because they can do in 6 days what no one else can do in 7 days. God can do in 6 days what no one else can do in 7 days. It's unusual, but it's sanctified. It's set apart. It's made holy. We're not made holy by honoring the Sabbath. We're made holy by the one who has made the Sabbath holy. God has set it apart. And because God set it apart, He sets us apart when we honor it and we bless it. Chick-fil-A explains it this way. They said it's not about being closed. It's about how we use that time. You see, to the honor of the Sabbath, it's not about stopping. It's not about just hitting pause. It's about remembering who our God is. It's about unwinding and remembering who He is. You see, all week long, life has hit the play button. There's been moments in our week where we just laugh and laugh and laugh. And there's a lot of joy. There's moments in our week that are just full of tears, and you would prefer to fast forward over the scene. And there are a lot of days in our weeks, they're just average. They're just part of the chapters that are help building the storyline that you would say they could be better, they could be worse. They're just somewhere in the middle. Our life plays all week long, and sometimes it feels like life is on fast forward. It's going so fast that we feel like a chicken running around with our heads cut off. That's probably a pretty gory illustration for a Sunday. But it's happening so fast that we're always having to think about what is next, because if we don't, we'll miss it and we'll run into the pole right in front of us. So we're always thinking about what is next, and because of that, we're always missing what is now, because life is on fast forward. Sometimes it feels like life is in rewind. You take one step forward, and for every step you make progress for, there's 2 steps that are happening backwards. But what Sabbath is that when we finally hit that pause button on life, we can finally remember what God has done, both past and present. And when we remember what God has done, we remember that before He called us to do anything, He always calls us to be His children. Before He calls us to be good at any skill, at any talent, at anything that we feel inadequate for, He says, "But you are My child and I am your God." And when we stop long enough to finally unwind from all of this life that entangles us, for all of this life that begins to enslave us, we remember that our God is a God who gives rest to the soul. That our God is a God who sets us free from the expectations of others. He is a God who sets us free from the obligations that we feel like if we don't do, that everything will just fall apart. He sets us free from all of that. And we remember He is a faithful God. He is a present God. An ever-present help in our time of need. He is a powerful God. He is a loving God. But we have to unwind and let Him remind us who He is. Because when we unwind, we're reminded that even when we cannot complete our work, which, by the way, your work will never be complete when you take a Sabbath. There will always be work to do. But you have to leave it behind. I assure you, no one is going to do that work for you. You might as well wait till Monday to do it. But it's being able to say that God, even when I cannot complete all of my work, I recognize that in 6 days You completed Yours. I recognize, Jesus, that when You said, "It is finished," that the work was completed. And I recognize, Jesus, that if You began a good work in me, You will be faithful to complete what I cannot. To rest. To unwind from all of this. But to stop, to hit pause on Sabbath is to do more than just stop. It's what we do with it. I would say it's what we be with it. It's not what we do. It's learning to be who God has called us to be in His presence. It's not just remembering, but it's beginning to rewind. Now, some of you, I'm going to have to translate this for you. There's things called a VHS. Or a tape that you put in your car. My car is so old, I still have a tape player in it. Praise God, there is a CD player, so I don't have to... You know, the cord you put into the tape to play the... Yeah, I had that back in the day. But a tape, the purpose of a rewind, is so that you can replay it. Right? So when we stop and rest, it's more than just unwinding from the things that unravel us and entangle us. It's actually learning to rewind and get ready for what God is going to do in the next 6 days. So Sabbath pauses. We look back and remember what He has done. And by the way, if we never stop and remember, we will never learn from our mistakes. So we stop and remember and we learn all that God did and maybe what we should have done. But then we also begin to rewind and we get ready for what He's going to do. You know what God does after the Sabbath? Resurrection. All four gospel accounts remind us of the day Jesus was raised back to life. After the Sabbath was over. Or early on the first day of the week. And the story of the resurrection is retold. You see, when we pause long enough so that we can rewind and get ready for the week that is ahead, what we're reminded is that God will resurrect us again. That just as He resurrected His Son Jesus 2,000 years ago, He will resurrect in our life. Rest reminds us that for every battle we're fighting, the victory will be His. Rest reminds us that for every darkness that we're walking through, that His light will shine in the darkness. And the darkness cannot and will not ever overcome it. It's to be reminded that the God who resurrects is the God who lives in us. That every burden that we carry, it's His. And He carries it with us. It's to receive this blessed assurance that He is ours and we are His. To be invited into this rest. That's really the purpose of all this, because Jesus Himself said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come and learn from Me. Come and learn from Me. You know what Jesus also did on the Sabbath? He taught. Come and learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Boy, that's permission to rest. That's promise to rest. It's to remember the words of Augustine, St. Augustine. He was an early church father, and he said, our hearts will always be restless until we learn to rest in God. And so there exists a Sabbath rest for the people of God, says Hebrews 4. Therefore, let us make every effort to enter that rest.